Blog Talk Radio.
There's a lot of people under the sound of my voice tonight. God has sent for you once. God has sent for you twice and three times. Some of you God has sent for 30 and 40 times. But you stop your ears to the voice of God and you haven't listened to God. But let me tell you something. One of these times God's going to set fire to your barley seed. And there's only one way that God can get you to come. And that's to take something you dearly love.
You know how many times we get in this life to mess up on y'all? Oh, I know all righteous men will fall, but you guess what? Seven times, but you only going to die one time. You ain't going to get to come back and say, y'all, can I do this all over again because I done had a flame of hell on my hands. He ain't going to give you no second and third and fourth, fifth chances. You got one life and that's it. You better live it right.
Why should a sinner repent? Because God deserves the obedience and love that he has refused to give him. Why should a sinner give up all his sins? Why should he be challenged to do it? Why should he make restitution when he's coming to Christ? Because God deserves the obedience that he demands.
The only sin we living in is the past that should have been gone and done away with by the blood. That's why we sit here with a guilty mind and guilty conscience. I guess we're trying to say that, Father, I guess that Yahshua's blood wasn't strong enough or powerful enough to do away with my sin.
God don't delight in whipping you. God warns you. He said, if you don't confess your sins, then I'll burn your barley seed. God's extended the time again and again. You've laid on your bed at night and you've had God come and wake you up and say, seek my face, child. And you said, not tonight, but later on. Not tonight, but later on. Next week, God. Next month, God. Next year, God.
You got to get rid of the fear from the beginning and leave the worry. What do you think this walk is? This walk is about the warriors and getting rid of the fearful. Because the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, they're all going to have their part in a lake that's burning with fire and brimstone.
Fire! The blood makes atonement for us all.
God, if I've got anything of a life between me and you, God, help me to confess it and forsake it. God, search me. God, get everything out of the way.
Hey, shalom, saints. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Blessings to y'all, everybody that's coming in, heading into the room. Hey, hallelujah. Good to have y'all on board tonight for Elder Becker's edition of Blog Talk Radio this evening. Let me see. All right, we got the tens coming already. Everybody's so proficient at that, and that and true teacher. Boy, everybody right on with that. Hey, I hope y'all are blessed and had a wonderful Shabbat and a great first day. I know we did. With course, our first days around every day around here typically, but especially first day because we have a lot of the saints that live near the community. They show up and. And we just hit it, you know. We got little projects going all over. And I want to say thank you, all those that can come out and lend a hand every, you know, whenever they get the opportunity, especially on first days. We're grateful, absolutely grateful. And I'm personally thankful again for the powerful words we got yesterday, of course, by Pastor, and them letters that that Sister Ashley read, and that, of course, it takes preaching to bring anything out to a greater level of understanding. I thank Yah for Pastor Dahl and the privilege to sit underneath him, and also, Teacher Shane's message, of course, was something that actually was very timely, because it's something that I've been talking about with my household, this past week, as a matter of fact, about the negative talk and all the speech that tends to death instead of life, because, this world, we tend to, we're immersed, especially in this country, of basically a death march from the time that, we're old enough to understand language and speech till the day we die. It's constant, a negative assault on us, and we can find relief and peace and truth in the Messiah and his kingdom. Thank Yah for that. Yeah, it was a powerful message. Yes, sir. Yeah, everybody concurs with that, Brother Shane. Hallelujah. Well, we are thankful for the daily food, the sufficient food that Yah feeds us with every day. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, if any of you caught the title of my blog talk tonight, I had Brother Shane put up R&R, and the first thing that comes to mind is, rest and relaxation, but that is far from what this R&R stands for. In fact, in the kingdom right now, as we prepare for the coming Messiah, that's the last thing we should be doing, is being, rest and relaxation. We're plowing in hope. We're laboring in hope towards preparing ourselves, this bride, for the coming of our husband. And that's what we need to be doing. But this R&R actually means remember and return. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, remember and return. Hallelujah. All right. And this is just going to be a shorter blog tonight, a little bit of an hour, but I believe you'll be edified. At least I hope so. And we're just going to get started with that. So again, it's called R&R, remember and return. All right. In the beginning of our walk, we did everything for Yah out of a pure heart. Heart that was filled with the love of Yah. How many of us truly remember how it was when Yah first called us into his marvelous light, how we remained so tightly bound to him that there was nothing that was able to shake us or remove us from our hold on our Messiah? In the beginning, we didn't have an evil eye towards our brother or sister. We had no false accusations we had to deal with. We saw everybody in a pure light, in that the Messiah was actually in our brothers and sisters. But as time started to progress and go on, these things started to change. And the Bible reflects that very clearly. It talks about that time and time again in the Old and Renewed Covenant. And so that, again, up front, thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you, Brother Ugly, for your labor in posting these scriptures and keeping the saints up with what is being said tonight, so they can kind of follow along with that. We're going to get started. Again, appreciate y'all joining in tonight, and I hope that this is a message of edification for you. All right, we're going right to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1. And let me see, 1 through 7. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I know it is, Brother Ugly. I know it's your pleasure. Hallelujah. All right, this is what John writes. He said, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks." And we know that's Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus, our soon coming Savior. And this is what Yahshua is telling the church at Ephesus. He's saying, "I know thy works. I definitely know what you're doing. I know your labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." So we have all these things, these attributes, these recognized things that the Church of Ephesus is actually action on, hands-on, laboring in to produce, okay? But then he says in verse 4, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Wow, after all the accolades? Here it comes. What was it? What is the thing that the Messiah had against the Church of Ephesus? Because thou hast left thy first love. Wow, now this is, you think about this. You have the Church of Ephesus right here. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but I'm going to. Anyway, because it's important. Now, I'll tell you what. Hang on a minute. All right. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Who's their first? Who is your first love? When you come into the knowledge of the truth, who was your first love? Of course, it was the Messiah. That was your first love. And Jesus is saying, I have this against you. And he's saying in verse 5, he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Man, you fell away from this. And he's giving all these attributes right in the beginning. And okay, hang on a minute. And repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Come on, you have these people at Ephesus, and I want you to pay attention to this. These people at Ephesus were going through, they had zeal in what they were doing. They were setting forth the agenda of the kingdom. You know, they were coming against those that were evil. They were removing them. They were trying them that say they were of the kingdom and they were not. You know, those that are apostles, they proved who the liars were, and those that weren't, they had the patience. They waited patiently for the coming of the king. But something happened in the midst of all this action. They lost their sight, their scope on their first love. And the Messiah actually says, this is the thing you need to remember. Remember this, that you've left your first love. You've fallen away from your first love. And you need to do something quickly, or you can forget all the other things that you've already done, because they're not going to mean nothing unless you repent of going away from your first love. The word remember. Remember, tonight's title is R&R, Remember and Return. The word remember is the Greek 3421. Manamano yayo, something like that. Yeah, you all see it on the screen. Anyway, it's this is from the Strong's. It's from the derivative of the Greek 3420. It's to exercise memory. That is to recollect, patient, to punish, also to rehearse, make mention, be mindful, remember. So when Jesus is saying in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, he says, recollect from whence thou art fallen. Be mindful. Put it back in your mind what you've actually removed yourself from. And the word fallen in here is the Greek 1601, ekpetito. Sounds Spanish to me, or Italian, but you'll see it up on the screen. Hallelujah. And this is from the Thayer's. It means to fall out of, to fall down from, to fall off, metaphorically. To fall from a thing, to lose it. Wow, to lose it. To perish, to fall from a place which one cannot keep. Fall from position, to fall powerless. Man, you understand that you're in the kingdom and you actually fall away. You have no power, no anointing, no authority anymore. No wonder you've lost your first love and forgot your first love. To fall to the ground, to be without effect of divine promise of salvation. And then the Messiah goes back on in verse 6 and 7. He says, but this thou hast again. So he's bringing up back the attributes. You know, first he brings up the attributes, he rebukes them, now he's putting the balm back on again. This is just the pattern of the Most High, because he's trying to draw his people. But this thou ask, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. To him, the ones that hear, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of Yah. Overcometh what? To get back on track, to get back in the right way, and get the back in the same frame of mind that you had when you met the Messiah for the first time. That love, that purity of love, that a desire, everything was focused on the Messiah. I mean, the whole life, and then again, of course, as life started to come in and build, and you know, you started to get more temptations and we're exposed to more. We find that people have started going through just the motions and forgetting actually the thing that drew them, the thing that, you know, that the Messiah that brought them this way. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32-38. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32-38. Let me see. Now I got a little, some of my notes here. I'm going to read them quick. I'm just about skipped right over. Of course, the ones that Jesus is describing in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 are those of which are in the body, but are doing things solely out of duty rather than out of the thankfulness they had at the first. They are like those which march in time. They are those which are going through the motions, doing those things which are required, but their hearts are far from a heartfelt, true relationship with the Most High. They look genuine on the outside, but on the inside there is no real joy, no real thankfulness, no real humbleness, and love for what is being done, because the first experience and joy of the Most High has ebbed away. The fire is slowly going out. You know, it's a fire which carries no real heat. It no longer consumes one being. You know, there is no longer any real true zeal. Again, it's just going through the motions and playing the part, but it's not remembering the thing that brought you to doing those things for the kingdom. All right, back to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32-38. And we find written in the book of Hebrews, as Brother Shane probably covered this very well, but this is what's written. He said, but call to remembrance, recollect, bring the things back to your mind. The former prior days, why? Why do we have to go back and remember these things? In which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. I mean, how many people were personally, for lack of a better, attacked by your family spiritually? They have the devil working through your family right in the beginning, right when Yah first illuminated you, when you just had the fire and the zeal and were out there telling everybody. It didn't matter about, you know, what wonderful thing just happened, because of the love of Yah is so deep in your heart. I mean, it didn't matter. You wanted everybody to know what you felt. But then right away there's return fire, this great fight of affliction. The word illuminated, we're going to cover that quick, is the Greek 5461 out of the Thayer definition, Brother Ugly. Thayer's definition. It means to light up, illuminine, to bring to light. So you were brought to light, after which you were illuminated, after which you were brought to the light, and then things were rendered evident, cause something to exist, and thus come to light and become clear to all. All of a sudden your understanding was opened up when these things were first illuminated. To enlighten spiritually, imbue with saving knowledge, to instruct, to inform, teach, to give understanding to. But this is what happened when we recall the former days. We remember, we recollect, bring back to mind that these things, when they were first brought to our light, when things, our consciences were open, the illumination, things became clear, and we all had the testimony. We saw things in a different light. This wasn't a mental ascent of salvation. This was a true heartfelt repentance. This is, you know, when I remember so specifically, it'll never leave me, and I thank Yah for that, that the night the Messiah had mercy on me and called me out and chose me, you know, and I think I gave my testimony before, but what was really totally amazing is I didn't feel anything or didn't sense anything right away, but when I got up the next morning, you know, all that weight of sin was gone. Everything that I had ever I felt like I was actually walking 2 feet off the ground. It's the only way. It's like my feet never touched anything. I mean, because all that and everything was pure. Everything was beautiful. And like I said earlier, I just wanted everybody to know. And I was calling these so-called, you know, right away, these people that were, you know, that were already been saved, the Messiah in the Christian church. And they were like, yay, you know. And then as I started telling them more, even I was, you know, deflating their own balloons, because the zeal that they thought they had, or the truth that they thought they had, they found out quickly that they were you know, basically probably in the mind knew that they were only going through the motions. And this guy here, he's fine. He's off his rocker. It's like, hey, hallelujah, just kept plowing forward. Anyway, all right, getting back on verse 33. Partly was you were made gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly was you became companions of them or so used. You know, how many people have we seen come through the gates of this community who endured times of being laughed at? They were ridiculed. We have their testimony. They were mocked. They made it through all these trials, all these trials by faith, pushing through, and only to go back and return to the ways of sin and world. What a shame. What a terrible testimony when you stand before the Most High. For you had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Remember the things that when you were first illuminated, remember the prior things. Recall to mind when the Messiah first saved you, when he first got hold of you. Don't cast away your confidence, that great confidence you started out this race with, which have great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Yah, you might receive the promise. So our whole thing is about doing the will of the Most High. So in patience, we walk this, we run this race, doing the will of the Father until he finally comes for us. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He will, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back is going back and returning back. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. They forgot their first love. They were going through all this time running this race, believing that they were actually pushing forward to the kingdom. And then somewhere along the line, they forgot their first love. They forgot what the purpose was and the zeal that they had for Jesus and wanting to serve him and wanting, more importantly, not only serving him, but serving the brothers and sisters as well, not ever casting an evil eye or having a doubt or a feeling of malice or ill will or envy or jealousy, because it's all done out of a pure heart. All right, Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 through, let me see. Boy, that big one. 1 through 13. Jeremiah 2, 1 through 13. All right, Jeremiah says, moreover, the word of the Master, moreover, the word of Yahshua came to me saying to Jeremiah, the prophet, to Israel, go and cry into the ears of Jerusalem. Why, Jeremiah, why does he have to cry into the ears of Jerusalem or the people of Yah, of Judah, saying, thus saith the Most High, I remember thee. I remember the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. This is Yah remembering what Israel was like at one time in their beginning. When thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. I mean, there was a zeal, there was a love, there was a desire to go after the Most High. Israel was holiness unto the Most High, and the fruits, first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Most High. Hear ye the word of the Most High, hear the word of Yahshua, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith Yahweh, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? What did I do? I've done nothing. I've done nothing but good to you, delivered you, showed you the way to go, provided for you everything since the beginning, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain. What has happened? Neither said they, where is the Most High that brought us up out of that completely? There was no remembrance anymore that the one that brought them saved them, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt. I mean, this is some serious situation. This wilderness had all these dangerous situations in front of it, and Yah brought the fathers through this, and now there's no remembrance of this. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness there, but you, when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. That's what we did to our houses when we first got illuminated, when we first got saved. We had that pureness of heart, the love of the Most High. And then what happened? Huh? Your house, your land, all of a sudden you started to defile it. You made the Yah's heritage, you, his possession, started turning into a detestable thing or an abomination. I mean, and we've seen that pattern so many times in this ministry. People came in with the pureness of heart, no evil eye, nothing, no offense towards their brother, and all of a sudden their land became defiled. Their heritage turned into a detestable thing. The thing that Yah possessed, their own being, they despised that. Verse 7, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, okay, I read that. And the priest said not, where is the Most High? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will plead with you, saith Yahweh, and your children's children will I plead or to strive or contend. For I pass over the eyes of Kedar, and I see and say unto Kedar, and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. Has a nation changed the gods which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which did not profit. You know, honor and reverence for other things. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Most High. For my people have committed there's two evils. They have forsaken me, the one that saved them, and from the very beginning, called when Yahshua called them his own, his first beloved son, from the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, or they have forsaken, departed away from Yah. And we've actually made the appearance that they were still in the way of the Most High and the way of holiness, but were deceived in them own selves, meaning that they hewed them out cisterns, but they were actually cisterns that were had no use. They were unusable, believing that they were still usable. They had the appearance that they were actually a vessel that could be useful for the kingdom, but all they were is just show and no go. All right, Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 through 13. Isaiah 46, 8 through 13. Let me see. Again, tonight's topic, remember and return. All right, Isaiah 46, verse 8 through 13. Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. All right, verse 8. Remember this, bring it to mind, recollect this. And show yourselves, men, bring it again to mind, O ye transgress, the ones that are in transgression, the one. Remember, going back to the book of Revelation, that one just gets hold of me, because these people, again, they were going through the motions. They were doing it with some fervor and some zeal, but because they left their first love, it meant nothing. It absolutely meant nothing. That's how important it is to keep your focus on Jesus all the time in everything that you do. We're seeing the same thing here again. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am Yah, and there is none else. I am Yah, and there is none like me. Remember all the things that the Most High brought you through in the very beginning, through when you were a gazing stock, and you suffered this great fight of affliction. Declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, of things that are not done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Yes, it will. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion, for Israel is my glory. This is the Father. No matter what is going on, there's a cry to come back to the full pureness and love of the Most High in righteousness. And he said that, but salvation, I don't care how I'm going to get it, it's going to be in Israel. Whoever I got to use, whoever righteous are going to stand, that's how it's going to be done. Isaiah 29, verse 10 through 13. No, come on. You know, we've talked in a great depth and a great deal. Pastor, the elders, you know, Teacher Shane, those ministering here, we're talking about, well, the term we hear now is the purging. Pastor Corey talked about on Blog Talk, and it is a purging. And every one of these people that have been, you know, Yah has purged, because he said in, I think it's Ezekiel, he would remove the rebels from out of the midst among us. He's the one that we're not to tear up the tares or pull up the tares. That's Yah's doing. But through this purging, I guarantee you, every person that has left or is on the verge of leaving because of whatever the case may be, an offense, a huge trial, you know, whatever they may have going on in their mind, they believe that they are actually right. They believe that they're serving the Most High because they're going through the motions, because, you know, they may come to fellowship, or, you know, the former ones, they may be off doing their own thing. But, you know, I hear reports of people that used to be part of this ministry, and yeah, we're still Hebrews. Why can't you connect with us? You know, we're still keeping the feast days. We're still, well, yeah, that's fine. But you reject the men of Yah here. You reject the teachings that come forth out of here. So no, you are not. I mean, not everyone that is Israel is Israel. All right, Isaiah 29:10-13. For the Most High hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers that he hath covered. And the visions of all is become unto one as you as read the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. I can't get no understanding out of it. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Most High saith, for as much as this people, again, playing the part, but not actually having that love of the Messiah in them, which is a love for your brothers and sisters, a love that removes accusation, ill will, envy, jealousy, because this is Jesus standing in front of you. This isn't, we tend to see it a lot of times, things as flesh and blood, but we're actually looking at a reflection of our Savior. For as much as these people draw near with me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and the fear of toward me is taught by the precept of men. All right, Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm going to do a lot of quoting out of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. All right. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, pay closer attention, draw it close to your bosom, to the things which we have heard, all this wonderful, glorious food that we've been fed, the beautiful preaching and the demonstration, the power of the Most High that we've seen as a part of this ministry, as Yah's, you know, brought forth Pastor Dowell, the man of Yah, and under the banner of Straightway, these great things. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect it? If we just go through the motions but really don't, if we've forgotten what first brought us here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great, because our salvation came by Jesus, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Most High and was confirmed to us by them that heard him. The word neglect, used in the third verse, how shall we escape if we neglect, is the Greek 272, amaleo. It's from Greek, the number one. It means to be careless of. How shall we escape if we're careless of? How shall we escape if we make light of? How shall we escape if we don't regard the great salvation that was given to us, that was offered us, that when the Father drew us? I mean, you think about it, there's 7.3 billion. What a privilege, what an honor it has been. And that should always, every morning you should wake up, that should be your first thought. And you're like, yeah, thank you for this privilege. Like, and even that should be an undying gratitude continuing throughout the day, because You can walk, you can go out, if you go outside of your home and you look around, you can look at your neighbor, you can look at the guy driving down the street, and chances are, and the very good chances, they'll never have the opportunity that's been given to you. And then to cast it away because you forgot your first love, what it meant to be. All right, we're at the bottom of the hour here, and we're going to go ahead and take a ministry break. If my bifocals can see it here, I believe this is it. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there. Be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
I always love the end. I love the whole thing, but the end of it, especially Sister Wendy. Hey, Shalom, the King. And comfort one another with these words. The King is coming, huh? Hallelujah. Keep your eyes lifted up. You know, as Sister Wanda was giving the break here, I was actually thinking about something. And, you know, a lot of the younger, the newer the babes that are in the ministry here, I'll tell you what, it would behoove some of the people that have been this for a while, some that have some tenure in the ministry. I include myself in this, you know, because I try to make this a point when I'm talking to people, especially young. But you need to go once in a while. Some of y'all really need to sit down with some of these younger, because these younger saints, these younger brothers have a fire. They may not have all the understanding. They may not have all the direction. They may ask for a lot of advice. But I'll tell you what they do have. They have that love, that zeal, that the Father gave them when they were first they're illuminated. And that's my little nugget, I guess I'll put it out there. But a lot of times during the feast days, when I'll sit down with these younger brothers, and I don't want to do much talking. They think they're sitting because an elder that, you know, I'm supposed, but no, I want to hear what they have to, I want to hear their zeal. I want to hear the love, the fervor that they have for the Most High, because of that, what they want to do for their brothers and sisters, whatever they commit, whatever hand, however they want to build a community. So it would actually be a great benefit to some of us that have our focus is a little bit off, is more towards the daily grind and not so much on the pureness of the love that the Messiah opened us, are rolled up with, and go sit and talk to some of these folks. I'll tell you what, it's very refreshing. It really is. But getting back on Back in the book of Hebrews, still Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Yeah, that's true, brother. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6, starting verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward Yah, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead, and of eternal. So we have a work in front of us. And this we will do if Yah permit. If he isn't permitted, that means you haven't conquered the principal things yet. But he says in verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, once illuminated. Remember, as we talked about earlier in Hebrews, they were illuminated, who their first love was. I mean, who the one that saved them, forgave their sins, atoned for them on that stake. Ooh, Jesus, got to catch myself. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the word here is impossible. It is impossible. And the word enlightened here is a Greek 5461, Thayer definition. It means to, it is impossible for those who were once given the light to shine, to enlighten, to light up, to illuminate. Those that were brought to the light, bring to the light, render evident, made known, to cause something to exist and to come to light and become clear. Again, here comes the illumination. To enlighten spiritually, imbue with saving knowledge. This is the same reading and the same word for illuminated that we read earlier. To instruct, to inform, teach, to give understanding to. So it is impossible. It is not possible for those who were once given the light, things became clear, they were enlightened, they were instructed, they were taught, they were given understanding to of this way, and have tasted the good word of Yah in this ministry, this is all covered, and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, it is impossible. If they shall fall away, to renew them again. This is how dire the situation is. So when people are on the brink, when they're in the spirit, when they have an offense, when they believe they have a right way, when they believe they have a greater ruling than the eldership, a greater understanding of the things that they've asked for advice and yet turn from and go their own way, all these things. If they shall fall away, because they're not thinking about this, nobody falls away, everybody believes they leave in righteousness, that's why they go flock to all these other people and try to, just like this fiasco up here, with this sister up in Chicago, Sushi. I don't know where I got that. Anyway, she believes that it was right, and she was, when she got there, she actually was received by a bunch of people who were in the same offense and would back that false assumption she had that she was actually acting out of the right behavior. But hey, if they shall fall away, to renew them again under repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of Yah fresh and put him to an open shame. This is an open shame. Oh, Silky. Okay, thanks, brother. Yeah, Sushi, Silky. Hey, hallelujah. Anyway, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves to the Son of Yah afresh and put him. Can you see, go back into Revelation and understand why, you know, I have something against thee. These people were all doing these mighty marvelous works, and they had a zeal and an understanding, but the Messiah was saying, look, even in the midst of all this, you're still part of the assembly, you're still plowing forward, but you've forgotten your start, you've forgotten your beginning, you're just walking through the motions. These people here are even past this, all right? And they definitely try to come back in. They crucify themselves, the Son of Yah, fresh, and put him to the open shame. The word fall away here is the Greek 3895 in the Thayer definition again. So if they shall fall away, if they shall fall beside a person or a thing to slip aside, if they shall deviate from the right path, it is impossible to be renewed again. If they turn aside, if they wander from the things that they were first enlightened of, to renew them again. You understand? if they err, to fall away from the true faith, from the worship of Jehovah. Okay, they put Yah to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon and drinketh forth herbs, meat for them whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from Yah. But that which bear thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Of course, they can show no good fruit, just corrupt fruit. You know, at first we had a love for all the brethren. There were no divisions. There were no separations between us. You know, at first the devil, he didn't, when you were first, you didn't even understand the temptation of devil, because there was so, I'm talking from my own experience, there was so much purity of Yah, such love. I mean, I would get home from work and I didn't care what I had in front of me. I mean, it was like everything was out of the way, and I'd sit down and I'd have that word in my face at least 5 hours minimum. And then after I got satisfied or full on that bread, then I'd go out and take care of my little chores and do it. But I was even amazed that back then, I would say for the first 7-8 months at the Father, the people that used to call me all the time, the, you know, my old friends, and I would hear from them, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, and my golfing buddies and bowling buddies and horseshoe friends, you know, everybody, you know, our party buddies. And I didn't hear anything. The phone pretty much just quit ringing. The Father actually provided me that time to even get more immersed and more appreciative of what I had in front of me. I mean, I really thank him for it. It was, and of course, I'm not going to let that slip, you know. But anyway, you know, and I'm saying that, it, and then in my case, I didn't understand the devil trying. I mean, all I saw was people, why don't you understand what I know? Why can't you see the beauty of this? I wasn't understanding fully that this is a devil trying to steer me out of the way. I would just had so much love, it was just going back the other way, like, you know, like, what's wrong with you, not what's wrong with me type of thing, okay? Anyway, I hope I'm making sense, but anyway, for all we had workingness was the overflowing love of the Father. Yah's word became our life. We studied and toiled to get his word in us day and night, engaging ourselves in his word, immersed in the beauty of his holiness, not being consumed with all the other affairs of this life. And believe me, I understand that it is easily done. It's a constant fight. I can't tell you how many mornings I wake up and, you know, it's a fight to keep the word in you, because the first thing that's popping in is all the daily affairs, the chores. You know, I got to take care of this because this, you know, this needs to be done here in a few days. And, you know, we need to get this done because we have that. It's you know, but it's part of this life. But again, that's coming back to having a balance. All right. And not forgetting that to remember where we came from. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. And this, again, is a good parallel to what the Messiah told the church at Ephesus. All right. Not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, what's going on? But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Okay, so let's see. Many will say to me in that day, yet, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name? Now, isn't that the will of the Most High? Well, Jesus is saying contrary to that. And in thy name cast out devils? Well, isn't that the will of the Most High? Well, the Messiah is questioning that too. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Again, these are like the people in the church at Ephesus. They were going through it. They were actually promoting the action. They were doing these things in the name of the kingdom, in the name of Jesus, but they forgot their first love. And so when they're going to stand before the Most High, before Yahshua, the one that saved them, here he says in the 23rd verse, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, doing all these things, going through all these motions, believing, deceiving ourselves into believing that we're doing all this stuff in the name of Yahshua for our fellow brethren, you know, for whatever the case may be, the believing that we're in pure worship when we're not, being deceived. And he says, I don't know who you are, you know. I didn't call you. I don't know where you're coming from, but, hey, you depart, man. I'll tell you what, that's going to be rough. Ooh, geez, that's going to be rough. Psalm chapter 78, the book of Psalms, chapter 78, 32 through 42. Remember, the title again, R&R, Remember and Return. All right. For all this they have sinned still and believe not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When they slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after Yah. So it took something to keep bringing Yah's people back. And they remembered that Yah was their rock and the high Elohim their redeemer. Nevertheless, okay, he put this on him. They came back. They remembered. They called to mind that all the wondrous mighty works that the Father had done for them. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. Again, the heart still wasn't in it. And they lied unto him with their tongues, deceiving them own selves. You know, they were going through the motions again, saying, you know, openly. And if you go to your brother, who the Messiah is in, your sister, and you try to present yourself as holy when you're actually deceived, it's doing the same thing. You're actually lying on the Father. You're actually lying on Yah, because Christ in them is the hope of glory. For their heart, again, their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. The reason people go in and go through the motions, but their heart isn't right in them. This is what the fruit production is. But he being full of, again, here's a Yah, my God, thank you, Father, for your mercy. But he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity. Basically just spitting. This is, again, the same thing Jesus did, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, did in Revelation. You know, I have one thing against thee. Man, you have left your first love. Repent from where thou art fallen. Return from where thou art fallen and repent. This is the same thing again. Jesus showing his mercy. He's telling Israel, but he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. I mean, boy, the grace of Yah, which has appeared unto all men. For he remembered that they were but flesh. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And when that passed away, it cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Whoo, Jesus. Yea, they turned back and tempted Yah and limit the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not. They didn't recollect. They didn't call to mind. Not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them. Don't you remember the day when Yah delivered you? When he brought you out of that Gentile mindset and illuminated you? That's the day he started you on the road to salvation, that he saved you from the enemy. The enemy, yourself and that hidden demonic spiritual world that we didn't understand. That's why Yeshua was manifest. Psalm 143, verse 5. Chapter 143, verses 5 through 8. And here we have Dawid, a man after Yah's own heart, and his words. This is what he did. This is what David did. He said, I remember the days of old, Father. I do remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. He pondered. I ponder on all thy works. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after. Why? Because he's remembering where he came from, where Yah delivered, what Yah brought, has done for him. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Yahweh. My spirit faileth. Man, hey, I'm having trouble here. Something's not working out right. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down unto the pit. In my season, in my trial, man, this is the perfect example. Instead of going away, instead of isolating yourself, if you're having a difficult time, you know, I'm not talking about from men so much, because I understand we need some time just to sit down and get a quiet place. But the direction is to return speedily unto the Most High, because he's the one, he knows we're but flesh. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them unto them that go down in the pit, which the Father isn't having nothing to do with them. He's turned from them, the reprobate. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Man, Father, just put it back in me. Help me, restore me, return me back. Up my soul, I want to know. I'm thirsty. Please fill me back up like it was in the beginning. Get me back. Set my feet back on that solid rock again. Let me see, Psalm 63, 1 through 8. No, wait, Psalm 63, yeah, 1 through 8. All right, again, a Psalm of David. A Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O Yahweh, O my Elohim, early I will seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee in a dry and thirsty land. No water is. See, now here's a principle thing that, yeah, of course, Yah's word is the reflection of his character for Israel, but David's direction was totally, you know, first towards his Elohim, you know, first towards him. And then, of course, for the law, statutes, and commandments, and Yah's people, Israel. To see thy power and thy glory, so I have seen in thy sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, when David's laying there, he recollects us, he brings us all back to his mind so he can keep himself on the straight and narrow, keep himself immersed in the love of the Most High, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Man, Father, you did all this stuff for me. You pulled me up. You awoken my conscience. You're the reason that I have an opportunity to serve you and the saints and get to eternal life. And meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after me, not lightly. This is a serious matter. The right hand upholdeth me. Ooh, you got to forgive me. Sometime I almost lose it there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All right, going to the prophets, Isaiah chapter 64, verses 4 through 9. And this is what Isaiah tells us. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O Yahweh, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember, those that recollect, that call to mind you, thee and thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those his countenance we shall be saved. In those in continuance shall we be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Because, you know, Isaiah is trying to get the people, remember, you know, keep them in a humble state. Anybody that's lifted up and prideful, you might as well just, you know, put the Mexican-American border around their ears, because you're just not going to get through. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You know, if you ever read a really powerful prayer, you go read Daniel chapter 9, man. I'll tell you what, that one, he's talking. Woo, he's saying something in that one. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face. Now, the prophet Isaiah is seeing all this and pronouncing it in the ears of these men that, man, why isn't nobody got zeal? Why isn't nobody remembering? Why don't you stir yourself up? I mean, David's saying, that's what I stir myself up. I make myself, you know, draw towards the Most High. I know he's my salvation. For thou hast hid thy face from us and consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Yahweh, thou art our Father. We are the clay, thou art the potter, and we all are the work of thy hands. And when Yah hews out these cisterns, they ain't got no cracks in them. Be not wroth very sore, Yahweh, neither remember iniquity forever. Excuse me, behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. 1 Timothy 6, going back to Renewed Covenant, 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. All right, this is what Paul's telling Timothy. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, not lifted up, nor trust in uncertain riches, whether that be something material or something they believe that, you know, we have something working in our own selves, but in the living Yah who giveth us richly all, who gave us, he gives all this richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. But they trust in the whole premise is that continually trust in the living Yah. Don't lose focus of the one that brought us, the one that's carrying us through this. It's all because of Yah. Do you remember the first repentance? You know, the first time that Yah brought you to your knees, you know, and made you realize what a criminal that you were before him, what a sinner in a sorry state that you were bound for hell. Do you remember that? Do you recall it? Do you recall it to mind when you cried out to the Father? Because you finally came to the knowing of how wretched you were and how badly you had wronged the one which gave his life for you, and how that you knew you needed a Savior. You know, how is it that we have forgotten where the Most High had brought us from? Out of the depths of hell, our souls cried unto him for deliverance. And it should be like that every day. And that the eternal gratitude and thankfulness we had for him because he set us free from the bondage of sin and corruption, how clean we felt inside, how free it was, how we desired seeking to do good unto all men, especially to those which were an heir of the household of faith. Isaiah chapter 29, verses 12 and 13. Isaiah 29, 12 and 13. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore Yah saith, for much as this people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. You know, religious attitude, you know, like the scribes and the Pharisees, an outward showing, but nothing from the heart. Again, just going through the motions, putting on a display, you're actually part of the kingdom, when the purity, the love for the Messiah has pretty much vacated the premises. And I'll tell you what, this type of behavior will not endure. This is part of the purging process, because Yah is calling the faithful that have a true bona fide love for him and always remember and recall to mind what he has done for them. And when they slip a little bit, they get on their knees, get in the repentance closet, and they return back to the Most High, remembering that it's only by him. All right, Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 14. Matthew 15, 7 through 14. All right, this is what Jesus is saying, telling the people, telling the religious, telling those that are believe they are Israel when they are not of Israel. They may have the outward appearance. They may have a lot of this false doctrine today. They have the skin color, whatever the case may be, but they are just going through the motions. They're putting on a show, but their heart isn't there. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Listen, I want to tell you something. Now I need your attention. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the man. This defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Remember, the reason I'm talking about this is because, again, this is an outward showing that there's no love for the brethren. There's no love for the authority. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make my own way. If I deem it's right and I purpose in my heart, and if I can get one or two people to agree with me, this has got to be the ways of the Most High. To hell with what's coming out, with the advice that's been given, the direction that's been given, you know, from the men of Yah, that Yah is set up in place to judge the people, to govern them, to help further, to edify them, you know, as Paul wrote in Corinthians, to bring them to the salvation, to help them on this journey. Then came his disciples and said, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered, said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up or shall be purged. Okay? Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. I mean, let them alone. Just leave them alone. They be blind. Messiah said, just let them go. They believe they know what they're talking about. You know, just put it out there to preserve everybody else so they don't fall prey to this thing. But leave the rest of them folk alone. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. Ephesians 6, 5 through 10. All right, servants, being obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Boy, we've seen that one challenged how many times this year? Oh, boy. With fear and trembling in the singleness of your heart as unto the Messiah. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, not again this outward thing, going back to Revelation, Ephesians again, you know, the church at Ephesus, just doing those things, you know, in fact, I'm going to say, I'm going to give them a credit. They were actually, you know, because Jesus was taking knowledge of these good things that they were doing. You know, these people here, more like the pharisaical religious type of attitude, and we still have that in some manner in this, you know, in Israel today. So anyway, but the fact is as in Revelation, as in here too, you know, in this religious attitude, this religious spirit, the self-righteous approach that we've lost, these have lost the real meaning of their first love. They don't believe that they've fallen, and they don't know to repent. But as the servants of the Messiah, doing the will of Yah from the heart, with goodwill doing service as unto the Most High, not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Most High, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Most High and in the power of his might. All right, and we're going to, no, we got a few more here. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 9. Again, Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. All right, Isaiah says, seek ye the Most High while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, because sometime he just may go away and you may never get him back again. Remember what Esau did? Man, he sought the Most High with deep tears. I can tell you, I mean, I don't know the whole story. I didn't see him, but what's written, it just jumps off the page. This man had, I no doubt, deep, heartfelt, trying to get back, and he was cut off forever in all of his generations. So, I mean, don't be deceived. Don't let any man think he's greater than he is. Seek ye the Most High while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, those wicked ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Boy, that thoughts, the thoughts that come into the head that challenge our beliefs. Ooh, boy, I tell you, they're out there, and the devil's not going to stop. It's going back, remembering where thou art fallen, embracing totally that first love, and I'll tell you what, you want to stop these thoughts because all your mind will be continually on the Messiah. And let him return unto the Most High, and he will have mercy unto him and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. Man, this sounds just like what Jesus said in Revelation. Man, return back unto me. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Most High. So get back here so I can give you my thoughts, so you can get back on track and do the things that are my way, not your way and not your thoughts. Because the unrighteous man is running after his thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. All right, Psalm 51, verse 10 through 12. And I had to finish up with this because, again, David knew the condition. He knew what it took to hold on to salvation. He knew what he needed to do to never stray far away from the Most High. He knew what he needed to do to keep Yah the first and foremost in his mind in the midst of serving Israel. He says, create me a clean heart, O Yahweh, and renew a right spirit. Why would David cry out for this, knowing that he's already a servant to the Most High? Yah has placed, anointed him to be king over Israel, has blessed him with so many things. And this is the a man after Yah's own heart, and he has the knowledge and the conscience to cry out, renew in me a right spirit. Well, where does that leave the rest of us? Oh boy, I tell you. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Almost in a pleading. Man, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David, way back then, the same thing that Jesus was telling the church of Revelation, the church of Ephesus in Revelation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold thee with thy free spirit. Well, glory to the King. That is the conclusion of R&R, Remember and Return. I hope it brings some edification and some direction for anybody that may be struggling, that has forgotten where Yah brought them from, is too caught up in the daily affairs of this life and the things that are going on in front of them. Keep your focus. You know, remember where the Most High continually every morning get up, what he's done for you, where he's brought you from, how he's ordered your steps aright, how he's put you, your feet in open places, how he's brought you in loud situations in your life to prove you. He said that way back in when he brought Israel out into the wilderness. He said, he told them flat out, I'm doing this to prove you, to whether you be of me. Or be willing, be of me, have the love for me, obey me or yourself. So we're not going to escape this trial. Jesus said, in this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome. Okay, so continually, I forget now that, when Brother Dominic called in a blog talk, yeah, the way is getting narrow. I mean, I can definitely see a change in the direction that the Father's doing with Pastor Dowell. You can see this, the greater sense of seriousness, the greater focus on getting right. And we are near the end. We can see the things out in the world. We can see the signs of the times. And what a waste of a life just to go through the everyday motions, just to put on an outward showing, just to try to impress people to make them believe that you're still part. I mean, again, that my mind pops to this, testimony of this parting testimony that this I keep wanting to say sushi. Okay, anyway, okay, Ashley, Silky. All right, and Pastor Corey, she was going through the motions, playing the part, but in the whole time, she had forgot where Yah had brought her from, where Yah had placed her and done all these things for her. It's a foolish endeavor to think that it's just the people doing these things. No, it's Yah. It's the love of Yah in their heart that is opening up and providing for the necessities. And to forget that, man, I tell you what, oh, my geez, is there any place for repentance there? Once they have fallen away, can they be renewed? Jesus said that all manner of sin shall be given to man except blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. Well, how much closer can you get to say and deny the testimony, walk away from the truth that Jesus opened up to you and on the road to salvation? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, it was my pleasure, Israel, to be able to speak again to you tonight. And I hope you got some edification direction. And remember, if you're coming to the Passover, please call the dining hall. Let us know, as Pastor puts out there in Blog Talk. And as he did mention, he's going to be doing a video giving instruction again for some of the newer comers, the newer people that are the guests that are invited to the Passover this year about, because we get so many people about, staying out in the tents and that sort of thing. And hopefully, like Tabernacles last year, Yah provides us, that wonderful weather. But even if we get tried, it's still, I've seen Passovers and feast days where, the saints are just so joy. The weather don't mean nothing, man. They just get out there and hit it and kick it because they just have a love for the brethren. Anyway, hey, bless you all. Continually praying. for the men of Yah, especially for Pastor Dowell, as he has this in front of him. And, you know, be like the Aarons and the Hurs that uphold, you know, the strength of the ministry. And because it's by that that we're going to be edified and increase in knowledge and understanding of who our Savior is. Anyway, bless you all in Israel. You have a beautiful week. Be encouraged. And, hey, looking forward to seeing you all at Passover. I believe I'll get an opportunity to be back behind this mic once or twice more before the Passover anyway. But anyway, hey, y'all have a beautiful week again, Saints. Hey, shalom. The king is coming.